with something that's out of the ordinary and something that we can't do without him. And that is to consider, as the NIV reads, to consider it pure joy when we encounter, or the New King James says, when we fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of our faith develops endurance or perseverance. That's what we're looking at. How do you do that? How can we count it all joy? How can we be like, this is part two of this message I started yesterday. I mentioned the saint as Jesus mentions the saint Antipas in Revelation chapter 2. This man walked into he was burned alive in a bronze kettle. How he died. For not bowing the knee and swearing allegiance and calling Caesar Lord. How did he do that? What gave him, how did he possess the spiritual fortitude to do that? That's what we're looking at. This is part two of this message. If you'd like to hear it, the whole thing, you can go to WGOD Radio on Facebook. You can go to my app, WGOD Radio. I'll upload it on there. Those were the best ways to hear that. And I invite you to church this weekend, Island Community Church. We have a guest preacher, and that is Bill Whiting, who was a member of our church and a preacher as well. He will be delivering the word on this 4th of July. Speaking of, happy 4th of July to all of you. God bless. Looking forward to seeing you this Sunday at church. And the following week, we'll be at it again. We'll be wrapping up the Book of Revelation on Wednesday nights at 6 and continuing our ongoing study in the book of 2 Peter. So, okay, let's get into this message now. I've entitled it, The Winning Mindset.
Next up, Psalm 56, verse 9. Let me read it to you. Here we got when and then and why. When I cry out to you, then my enemies will scatter. This I know because God is for me. When, then, and why? Look at the attitude that this guy had. If there's anything I'm going to memorize from this, it's this verse today. When I call out to you, then my enemies will scatter. This I know because God is for me. This is a spiritual thing. You see, when you possess this kind of attitude, look out, world. There's no stopping you as a child of God. Once you get this kind of attitude, and it comes about through the fires of adversity, through something that has pain with it and suffering. When I cry out to you, then my enemies will turn back. This I know because God is for me. Now, the realization that God was for him was all that David needed. David goes on in verse 11, Psalm 56, verse 11. In God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Is that your attitude? It should be. This is the attitude that Antipas had to have, if I could speculate. Recklessness in his faith. Friends, you're not going into a bronze kettle without it. Don't kid yourself. But of King David's attitude, there's no need to speculate. Three things. In God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. And what can man do to me? God is no respecter of persons. He'll do the same thing for you like he did for David. Now, sometimes it doesn't work out. Sometimes you end up like Antipas. You don't always end up like Daniel coming out of the lion's den. But God is good, nevertheless. How's your mindset today? If you've got the winning mindset, again, like I said, look out, world. Romans 8:31, Paul says this, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? That's funny. That's what David just said 1,000 years earlier. God's faithfulness goes on and on. And let me say this, church, God is for you. The Bible says every hair in your head is numbered. God is for you. Everyone in this church. I personally know that God is for everyone in this church. The Bible says, okay, let's go on here. Paul goes on, Romans 8:33. Who? He sounds like an owl. Who will bring a charge against God's elect? Who is he that condemns? Who will separate us from the love of God? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword, as it is written, for your sake we're killed all bloody day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yea, in all these things we are more than conquerors. Paul invented a word there too. There's no such word in the Greek language. Huper nikeo. Nikeo, where the word Nike comes from. More than conquerors, super conquerors, invents words like I do all the time. Through Christ, who loved us, this is the winning mindset. I encourage you all to be charter members of Overcomers Anonymous. There's no stopping the believer with a winning mindset. You and I are more than conquerors. Alexander the Great was one of the greatest conquerors who ever lived. And yet all of you that trust in God and realize, key word, realize that God is on your side. You realize God is for you. You realize no devil can harm your soul. You are more than conquerors. And this is the winning mindset. It's an air of arrogance displayed through submission and humility. Next up, Acts chapter 16, verse 22. Paul and Silas in jail for preaching Christ. Acts chapter 16, verse 22. Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes, commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison, fastened their feet in the stocks. All right, let's look at their mindset now. What were they thinking as they were going through this? Verse 25. But at midnight, now remember, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, okay? At midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. So in the face of trouble, what did they do? Two things. Number one, they prayed. Number two, they sang songs. They sang hymns to God. Also notice that the others, the unbelievers, were watching too. Just like today. Satan's prisoners are watching you today to see what your response is going to be to all the world's troubles or to personal trouble in your life. Not only will your winning mindset get you through trials, but you'll take others with you as well. Yes, all of you here on your jobs, for all those who know you are a Christ follower, people are watching you. Same as they watched Paul and Silas. They're watching to see what you're going to do in the face of adversity. When your mother dies, or when your believing son dies, what are you going to do? Are you going to act same as the world does? Or are you going to be different? The prisoners are watching. They're Satan's prisoners. He's got them in his grasp. And they're watching you. They're watching you to see if you've got this winning mindset. They must have thought they were crazy when they started singing songs. How many of you, if you got locked up in jail for saying Jesus Christ is Lord, would go around singing songs? That one's a little bit easier to do. Not the bronze kettle, but into jail. I still ask you how many of you would do it. That's pretty good. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake. Verse 26. So that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Immediately, the doors were opened. Everyone's chains were loosed. The keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep, seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called out with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm. We're all here." Then he called for a light, ran in, fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" As a result, the unbelievers wanted what Paul and Silas had, inner peace that can only come through knowing Jesus Christ. Next up, 2 Timothy 4:16. The last thing Paul wrote before he died, he said this. Again, 2 Timothy 4:16. I think it's on the handout. "At my first defense, no one stood with me. They all abandoned me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood at my side," the NIV says. The Lord stood at my side. Literal, figurative, I guess you gotta have to die to find that out. The same thing will happen to you, I promise you. The Lord stood at my side and strengthened me. So this is what I believe happens to the child of God. We know for a fact that happened to these three going into the furnace, right? What did Nebuchadnezzar say when he looked inside there? He says, "Didn't we put three guys in here?" They said, "Yes." He said, "Who's the fourth guy in there?" And my Greek Old Testament, 300 years before the New Testament, said the fourth guy in there looks like the Son of God. When you go through the furnace, Jesus goes with you. You might not see him here right now, but when you get, like Peter did, and get out of that boat and take that step, he goes with you. I would bet every time, or the only time, it's going to be required of you. You get out of that boat, he goes with you. This is his testimony. Verse 18 there in 2 Timothy 4, he said, "And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen." Paul had a quiet confidence and an inner peace that God was in control of his circumstances, and that he would work everything out one way or the other. All right, one more example. What sermon on a winning mindset would be complete without looking at David and Goliath? 1 Samuel chapter 17. In this scripture, we're going to look at two prevailing mindsets, or the tale of two mindsets. Every living soul on planet Earth at crunch time will be defined by either one of these two mindsets. There's no three. When you're looking at someone 9'6", there's only two. Here's the first one. 1 Samuel 17, verse 23. It says, "Then," now David's father sent him out with some gourmet cheese to give to his brothers. Right? "Here, take these cheeses. Got some Twinkies and some cheeses. His bag must have smelled terrible." You ever walk into a cheese store before? You got to go to where I grew up, Summit, New Jersey. There was this place called the Cheese Shop. Man, oh man, the whole town stunk like this place. I couldn't go within 5 miles of this place. So his father loads him down with cheese and says, "Here, take these to your brothers." So as he was talking to them, there was the champion, the Philistine of Gath, whose name was Goliath, coming up from the armies of the Philistines. And he spoke according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. Underline that phrase or make a note of it. Dreadfully afraid. The King James says they were sore afraid. And here's the other, verse 26. Then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, "What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine anyway, that he should defy the armies of the living God? Do you see the difference? Look at the air of arrogance that he has. Not in himself, no, but in the realization how small this man was in comparing to God." I was thinking this morning of when they sent the spies out too. Remember? He sent the, I think it was Joshua. No, it wasn't. It was Moses. He sent the 12 spies to go spy out the land. Remember? And two came back in faith in the other 10. This first two had the winning mindset and the other 10 didn't. These were dreadfully afraid. But David had the realization, like I said, that God was for him and how small this man was. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? He should defy the armies of the living God. But it's important to see here where he got this attitude from. And I want to show you. It's found just a couple verses earlier than this. 1 Samuel chapter 17. But let me pick it up in verse 34, two verses earlier. David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion and a bear came and took the lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and I struck it and I delivered the lamb from his mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck it and killed it." Your servant has killed a lion and a bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be just like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. And David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from this hand of the Philistines." And Saul said to David, "Go and may the Lord be with you." You see, God used this trial by osmosis to produce in David the God compound, hupomeno, perseverance. David's air of arrogance came through abiding under the hand of God in the past and experiencing his deliverance. All of you already have this. Hasn't God come through for you with some great thing in your life before? Many of you have heard me give the testimony before of finances at the radio station where I was a subordinate at. We needed $40,000 in a day or the bank was going to take the radio station. And some woman called me on the phone and said, "Do you need anything?" And I said, "Lady, I need $40,000. She said, "How long are you there till?" I said, "Lady, I'll wait all day for you." 3 o'clock in the afternoon, ding dong. Opened the front door, lady handed me a check made out to WCNO for $40,000. Just like that. You see, you stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Now, what do you think happens the next time there's a money crunch in my life? Taketh a royal hike. I'm not going to worry. That means I don't worry. I mean, poo-hoo on you. I'm not worried about that. God's come through in a big way in my life, and I trust him through this. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Here's your trial. You got to watch God come through in your life. Be still and know that I am God, Psalm 46:10 says. Let him see you through what you're going through. And then you get this attitude that David had when he came up to, he just killed a lion and a bear 3 verses earlier. Who is this man compared to that? No, God saw him through a trial and it developed in him the fortitude that he needed to face this man and say what he said to him. That's where this came from. What comes to mind is this for me. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. From David's to Daniel's in the lion's den to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the furnace to Paul and Silas in prison to Polycarp who said, "Bring forth what thou wilt," to Antipas and whatever in the world he said. The answer was, do what you will, do what you will, do what you will, do what you will. I'm trusting in God. All right, so what inspired these people to possess attitudes like this? I actually have an answer to that question for you. What inspired these people to possess attitudes? Two things. Number one, a deep trust in God. A deep trust in God. Number two, the belief that God would do what he said. And for us New Testament Christians, point number three, an inner peace that can only come through knowing Jesus Christ personally. Listen to Paul. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, he's a lawyer. He summed up everything that he knew. He looked and recounted everything. He says, what can we say about all this? If God is for us, who can be against us? Listen to David. In God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? This is the winning mindset. This is what Antipas had when they put him in the kettle. This is what the three Hebrew children had in the burning fiery furnace. They're always known as that, right? They sing songs about the three Hebrew what? It's always children. How apropos, the faith of a child who follows their father and mother and would jump off a cliff if their father told them to, right? Or in a swimming pool when you're teaching your child how to get into the water and they're scared, what do you say? You hold out your arms and they're reckless and they'll do whatever you say because they trust in you. You say, jump, and they'll jump. Reckless. 40 years old, he wouldn't do that. He's more worried about his IRA. When he's three, he'll jump because he's got childlike faith. And he doesn't know that his rent is due next week. He just trusts God. And that's what we got to get back to. Just trust in God. All these saints had the absolute conviction that God was on their side. That he would catch them when they jumped. How about you? Do you have that assurance? Do you have that assurance that God is for you? For those listening in on the radio, because I know everyone in this church, I'd have to ask the question, is God for you? We read in John 3:36, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life. He who does not believe the Son will not see life. But the wrath of God abides on him. Think about that. All we've looked at, right? Abide under the hand of God. Here you've got the wrath of God. Talk about having a monkey on your back. You've got the wrath of God on yours. If you don't believe, he who does not believe the Son will not see life. But the wrath of God abides, same Greek word, without the hupo. The wrath of God abides on him. None of this matters if your name's not in the book of life. Your death and the death of your family would be meaningless if you were to depart this world only to go to a place far worse than this. Is your name in the book? How's your fortitude? And do you hate your life today? Lord God, we praise you. We thank you for your word. For all those listening on the radio, it's your decision over whether or not God is for you or against you. Because he says in his word, as many as received him, to them he gave the power or the authority to become children of God. You too can be a child of God and have God for you by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved, like the Bible says. He who calls on the name of the Lord to be saved With the heart one believes unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you turn and repent of sin and call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you too will have these same promises that everyone else has by calling on the name of the Lord. And Lord, for all of us, we pray, help us to understand better when we're going through trials. Maybe you could hang a sign on us, a big yellow sign. It says, God at work. Help us to understand and see that you're working behind the scenes. You're developing in us the God compound that David had and all these others. Help us to remember that. Help us to count it pure joy when we encounter various trials, knowing that you're doing a great work. Help us to help prevent us from turning the light on in somebody else's dark room that's suffering right now. Help us keep our hands off of someone else's suffering. Help us not to be an amateur providence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio. And on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
He who was before there was light walked across the pages of time. He who made every living thing, behold him. He who heard humanity's cry, left his throne to wake as a child. He became like the least of us, behold him. Jesus, Son of God, Messiah.